Hey guys, I'd like to welcome everybody to our Bible study today, the one that we try to have every Tuesday here at 2 o'clock. Sorry, I'm trying to get my mic out of the way of the picture, but the one we have every Tuesday here at 2 o'clock where we talk about foundations of the faith. For this week's lesson, what I'd like to do is I'd like to talk about something that really kind of plays off of an event that occurred in this country last week with the 4th of July. You know, with the 4th of July in this country, you know, there's definitely all the thoughts and the different things about the foundation of this country and how this country developed and came about and everything like that. But along with that, something that's foundational to this country and something that our minds typically go to and that we're thankful for are the freedoms that we have. And we're right in having and being thankful, having that thought and being thankful for those freedoms, the opportunities that we have. You think about as Christians, as those who follow Christ, the ability to worship Him without fear of persecution. And there's no doubt that there's this sense where Christians might be being attacked, but the fact that we still have the ability to, without fear, to be able to assemble, to be able to openly talk about God's Word, and not have action from the government as a result of that. We're so thankful for that, as well as we offer many of our other freedoms. But one of the things that we recognize and realize whenever we think about those things is the fact that freedom, it doesn't come without a cost. In other words, freedom doesn't come free. Something had to happen in order for those freedoms to come about. And we recognize that and realize that within our nation. We think about the various wars that took place, especially there with the Revolutionary War, the first one that we were able to gain our independence from England, and as a result establish this country and this nation based off of freedoms that really came about for the fact that we didn't like what was happening under English rule and the tyrannical rule that was there. But then you think about other wars that happened throughout time. I have two pictures there, one of World War I, one of World War II. And we might sometimes think, well, what does that have to do with freedom? Well, the bottom line is if men and if Americans at that time didn't step in and fight, who knows if this country still would have been around. If those countries that were gaining power and momentum through those wars, what would have happened? So what we recognize and what we realize is this. Freedom does not come free. There's a cost to freedom. And what I want to do with that is with that understanding that we have and that acknowledgement that we have, the freedom doesn't come free. And it wasn't just with the Revolutionary Wars throughout time. The freedom comes at a cost. Different times, different generations had to step up and fight. It might be a war, might be something else in order for freedom to be there. But what I want us to talk about today and what I want us to realize and recognize is that freedom comes at a cost in regards to our spiritual lives as well. Before we get into that, what we do have to establish, and we do this a lot here on this program, is establish the fact that we are enslaved and we are not free. And whenever I say we do this a lot, we oftentimes bring up these verses. But we need to do it again so we understand our state and the fact that we weren't free without Christ, which we'll get to in a minute. Jesus said in John chapter 8, 31 through 35, and again, we read this one quite a bit. We talk about this one quite a bit on this program, but I want to lay it out again. Jesus says here, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciple indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants, and have never been in bondage to anyone." In other words, we're free. We haven't been in bondage anyway. How can you say you will be made free? Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but the Son abides forever." Recognize that. Whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. So it's in that sense that we are in bondage. It's in that sense that we are not free. We are in trapped. We are a slave to sin. And so we need to get out of that sin. We need to become free from that sin. Well, why is that? It's because we put ourselves there. We see in Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2, the fact that we separated ourselves from God through our sins. then there in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And then Romans 6:23, the right wages of sin to death is death. So you see, this is what we've done. We've separated ourselves from God, not because God made us do it or because God did that. We did it ourselves by sinning and separating ourselves from Him. Remember, God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. So whenever we sin, we're no longer part of that light. We're now part of darkness, as we see at the beginning of 1 John chapter 1. So we separated ourselves from sin. Nobody has lived here on this earth that has not done that. All have sinned, not from the sense that all inherit sin, but all have sinned themselves. And that wage that we earn that comes about is death. And so that's where we are. And again, we lay this out a lot, but we need to recognize and understand that. We are a slave to sin. And Jesus tells us that we are a slave to sin because we've sinned, but it is through Him that we can become free. We can become free of that sin. And so there is a cost associated with that. What is that cost? Well, that cost to be free from sin is Christ. We read in John chapter 3, 16 that God God gave us Christ that we might have everlasting life. So it is through Christ that we might have everlasting life. Well, why did God have to give us Christ to give us everlasting life? Well, we read the reason why here in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. Here at the beginning of the book of Ephesians, Paul laying out here to the brethren there at Ephesus the redemption that is there, that is found there in Christ. And because of it, the hope that we now have. He says here in chapter 1, verse 7, in Him, speaking of Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. So it's in Him that we have redemption. One might ask, okay, I understand it's through Him that we have redemption through His blood, but what does that have to do with me and freedom and the costs associated with it? I want you to recognize that word redemption there. What that word means is this idea of a ransom paid in full, a releasing affected by payment, a required price. You see, what we need to understand, what we need to recognize, is that we sinned and separated ourselves from God, and there was absolutely no way to get back into a right relationship with God. There, we sinned and put ourselves into bondage, and there was no way to get out of that bondage in of ourselves. And there was no other way to do it. It had to be through a required price that was paid. It had to be paid in full. It couldn't be a partial payment. And that this releasing, this redemption, is only made effective. It only works whenever that payment is made. Well, what was that payment? Well, we read it was the blood of Christ. You know, we read in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4, that the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sins. In the Old Testament, you had that. You had the blood of bulls and goats being offered. But that didn't take away sin. The blood of Jesus does. Why? Because it is that ransom that is paid in full. It was required price that was there. And it was through Christ's blood that we have redemption. We need to recognize that. We need to understand that. You see, us being those that separated ourselves from God cannot get ourselves back into a right relationship. There is absolutely no way that we can pay, whether it be financially with money or whether it be with our time or anything like that. There is nothing in ourselves that we can do to repay that debt that is owed. There's nothing that we can do to pay that ransom in full. But you know who could? Was Christ. And you think about the cost associated with it. The Son of God, the one who in the beginning was with God and was God and came and became flesh, dwelt among us, lived the perfect life, had no sin, had no spot found in Him, became that perfect sacrifice on our behalf. That's the cost that our freedom comes at. And it's only through that that we can be made right. We understand that. We understand that in order to have that, it had to be by the blood of Christ. And so we recognize that, and we're so thankful and we are so grateful for that. You think about your state and where you would be without Christ's blood, without that opportunity to be able to come back into a right relationship with God, being separated from Him, alienated from Him, as we see throughout Scripture, being in darkness, having no hope, all those ideas come about. But because of Christ, we have that opportunity for freedom. And now I do want to say this. Although we have an opportunity from freedom, it's not freedom that we can now do whatever it is that we want to do. See, we understand and recognize that whenever we look at Romans chapter 6, that we were a slave to sin. Why? Well, because as we read in John chapter 8, the fact that we sinned and we are now in bondage to sin, we separated ourselves from God. So we were in that state, but then after, as we see in Romans chapter 6, after we are baptized and we rise to walk in newness of life, we are still a slave, but it's no longer a slave to sin. We now have freedom from sin. We are now a slave to righteousness, and we need to live for that. But foundational to our faith is that understanding that my ability or my opportunity, to be able to no longer be in sin, no longer be in bondage to sin, but I have that opportunity to have freedom from sin in Christ and be a slave to Christ, be a slave to God, that came at an extreme cost. We need to think about that. You think about the death of Christ and what he went through. The beating, the mocking, the scourging, the unfair trial. He went through that for us. And it is through his blood, through that sacrifice, that we have redemption. So, no, freedom didn't come free. It wasn't a situation where we just all of a sudden woke up and now one day we are right with God and there was no cost associated. No, there was a great cost associated with it. And that cost was Christ and his life for us. But I want you to also think about this. You know, we lay out that idea quite a bit, and we do talk about that quite a bit, and we should. But I want you to also understand the other side of it. Not only do we have the great cost that was Christ in his death, but there is a cost to us as well. And this is something that a lot of people want to stop at. There's a lot of people in the religious world that would want to stop at the fact that Christ became that cost for me, that death, and then they don't want to go on and realize and understand and recognize that there is a cost for us as well. Okay? You think about what we laid at the beginning. You have those who initially fought the Revolutionary War to give us freedom. That doesn't mean that they can live their life without having to do any kind of sacrificing or do anything on their own. We see with World War I and World War II and other wars and all those different things that there is a continued cost associated, continued things that one must do in order for this country to maintain its freedom. The same thing is going to be true for us. There is a cost. Yes, Christ is that great cost that allows us to be free from sin. But in order to continue in that, there is a cost to us as well. It wasn't just that Christ came and died and now we can live however we want. Jesus tells us that before becoming a disciple, we must count the cost. We see that here in Luke chapter 14, 25 through 33. Jesus says, great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, this is what Jesus said to them, starting in verse 26. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. See, one might look at that and say, well, why is that? Jesus tells them that you need to count the cost before you become a disciple of his. In order to be one who is going to have that freedom, you need to count the cost of what it's going to take to have that freedom in Christ. And what it's going to cost you are some of these earthly relationships. He goes on and explains here in 28 through 33. For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has, cannot be my disciple. See, Jesus is laying out here, we need to count the cost. Why? Because it's going to cost us something to be a disciple of His. If we want freedom, yes, He came and became that sacrifice. And it's through His blood that we have access to be in a right relationship with God again. But it's going to cost us something. It's not like Christ did that and then we can just live our life however we want. It's going to cost us nothing. No, if we are going to be a disciple, if we're going to be a follower of Christ, if we're going to be one that is in that right relationship with Him, it's going to cost us something. Remember where He started off at the beginning of this in Luke, right? In 25 through 27, talking about the fact that you're going to have these relationships that you're going to have to count the cost against. You might lose those relationships. Why? Well, we see in various places that Jesus talked about the fact that because we are followers of Him, people are going to hate us because they hate Him. We see in Matthew 10, 16 through 22 that we will be hated because we are followers and teachers of Christ. We also see in John 18 or 15 verse 18 that the world hated Christ first. And because of that, if we are followers of Him, if we are wanting to be those who have freedom from sin and as a result of that, continue in His ways, then we're going to be hated because the world hated Christ. We need to understand that, and we need to recognize that there is a cost associated with freedom. Not only was it the death of Christ and the great cost of the Son of God and that perfect sacrifice that Jesus was, but there are some things that we are going to have to give up in our life as well. Understand that we might be and will be hated by the world, right? The world is darkness. Christ and God are light. And the two aren't going to jive. We see that throughout Scripture. And so if we are partakers of the light, if we are those who are followers of Christ, then the world or darkness is going to hate that. They're not going to like that. And so you might lose relationships. In fact, you probably will whenever you think about how many people in this world are just that, are worldly, and are not followers of Christ. Understand that relationships could be lost. But understand that that might be the cost associated and is the cost associated with freedom. It's not a thing that just happens without us having to endure any kind of hardship. Freedom does not come free. We see it within our own country and we see it within Scripture. Freedom from sin is not free. First of all, Christ had to die for us, but then we have to be willing to let go of things of this life that we might want to do. The things of this life that separate us from God, certainly the sinful things, but even those things that distract us, we have to let go. It cannot be anything within us. There can be no ounce of selfishness associated. We have to live for Christ. You know, you think about that idea, and what we really need to do is we really need to ask ourselves, do I really want to be free? Is it worth it? We definitely need to count the cost, and we need to understand that there is a cost associated with freedom. Again, not only was it the death of Christ, but then there's also what we have to let go of and be willing to so that we can be free from sin and have that hope of heaven when this life on earth is over. Because if we don't, we're going to remain in that bondage. You think about an individual who let go, who counted the cost and understood that he was going to have to go through things in this life, was more than willing to do it because of the hope of heaven, was Paul. What he gave up to become a follower of Christ. The position that he had, as we read in Philippians chapter 3, where he was, the prominence that he had, the relationships that he was going to lose by making this change, this conversion. But yeah, he did it because he knew what the... Yes, there was a cost associated, but he also knew the hope of heaven was there. And that's why he could say in 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 through 7, that I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. There was laid up for me a crown of righteousness. This is something that we all need to do. We need to count that cost. We need to understand that the freedom from sin does not come without a cost. And again, there's a lot of people in the religious world that would think that. They're going to take you and try to go down the path of, well, Christ died for you, so because of that, you don't have to worry about anything. That's not how freedom works. Yes, Christ died for me, There was that initial action that had to be done because there was no way I could in of myself be made right with God. But I also have something that I need to do. I need to count the cost, and I need to be willing to let go of whatever it is that I have to let go of. It might be a relationship on this earth that I hold so dear. And I need to realize that whenever you think about price or you think about eternity, and you think about eternity in heaven or eternity in hell, and you think about what is associated with it and the length of time that is there and the destruction and the pain and the anguish or the joy that's there, we need to think about it. We need to understand that it is more than worth it, but there is that cost associated with it. I hope you found the study helpful. I hope you found it edifying. It's a little bit different than some of the other studies that we've done thus far. But again, just kind of wanted to play off that idea of freedom. We understand and recognize that freedom comes at a cost. And we need to see that not only in our physical life within the United States of America or other countries, but certainly in our spiritual lives, that there's a cost associated with it. That cost associated with freedom and that willingness to give up those things is going to be more than worth it in the end. Again, I hope you found this study helpful. I hope you found it edifying. As always, if you have any questions at all, please reach out to me. Get a hold of me at 84th Street Church of Christ. Reach out to us on Facebook or contact me on my Facebook page. I'd love to be able to have a Bible study with you. Hopefully you can join us next week on Foundations of the Faith as we go back and look at what we looked at the last 2 weeks, this idea of God being God's Word being inspired of God. We laid that out. We laid out why it's important. We're going to take a few extra steps in the next few studies with authority and some other matters with regards to the inspiration of the Scriptures. Hopefully you have a great rest of your day and a great week.